Well, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Take your Bibles and go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, if you find it, if you're able to stand with me. It is good to have the Meyer family here. I think it's the Meyer family, and look forward to getting to know them. My wife said, hey, maybe you can make a friend with Brother Meyer. And so, a lot of friends. Amen. And I found out it's Mary and Jeremy's anniversary today. So happy anniversary, Jeremy and Mary. And I remember how all that came about. I'm so thankful. Thankful to God. Are you in Philippians chapter 3?
Amen.
Let's look at verse 20. We'll be reading down through verse 8 in chapter 4. Here we go. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, and my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias, beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway. And again I say, what church?
Rejoice.
Rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's pray together.
Yes.
Father in heaven, we're grateful and thankful for being in your house, Lord, with your word and your church, Lord. Thank you so much for bringing us here today. And I pray that my prayers, Lord, that I'd be a blessing to these people and a help. And Lord, I can't do that without you. And so, Lord, I need you today. And I pray you'd fill me with your spirit. I do pray for the service to come, that you would touch pastor, anoint his lips. And Lord, may he preach with free course and the word of God go forth with free course and liberty. And Lord, I'm so thankful that we have a pastor we can hear and expound the word of God and be fed, Lord. And there is no excuse for this church ever saying we've not been fed, because we have a pastor that feeds us, Lord, from your word. And so, Lord, I pray for him. I pray for the music, everything said and done in the service today. And we'll be careful to give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. We do need to thank the Lord more, don't we?
Yes.
It's biblical. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, when we give thanks. And so we need to do that more and not worry so much. Amen. We have a tendency to worry. I think the devil, he plants those thoughts in our mind. He's the deceiver. He's a liar, right? He set out to destroy us. But I'm thankful that we have his word and we have Jesus. I'm so thankful for our Savior. But this title, if you will, is things or truths that help us with worry. I don't know if there's been anybody worrying this week, but we are prone to wander as sheep. And so if you're not worried about anything right now, maybe you will in the future. But these things coming out of the Bible, right straight out of the Bible, will help you with that in your life. And so if you want to take a note or two and jot them down, if you just keep it, if you have a time to you start worrying, then just look them up, or just get in the book of Philippians. That'll help you. But the book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul, and he was in a prison in Rome. And not like the prisons we have today, you know, or kind of like Holiday Inn, some of them. But the prisons back in those days, you would not escape. Okay. They even put the Apostle Paul, they had three tiers of prison. They put him down in the most secure one, the prison that was designed for death row inmates or whatever. You were getting ready to die. And Paul writes this epistle to the Philippian church to encourage them, exhort them, hey, it's okay. This is not the end. But when they put someone in prisons, damp, dungeon, doomed prisons like he was, and they would put a board or some type of wood piece across your ankles and chain you to that board, it was excruciating pain there, and you couldn't see anything. And so he's giving us this help under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course. And he's saying, hey, you don't have to worry about it. Now, if you start up in verse 20 of chapter 3, for our conversation is in heaven. So it's not the end when we die down here. That's just the beginning. Because if you're saved, you're going to go to be with the Lord. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. And my dad just passed away, but it's not goodbye. It's see you later. Amen. And I have a dad and mom in heaven now, so I'm thankful for that. And I was talking to my brother last night, and he mentioned, he said, well, we don't have dad here right now. I said, no, and the thing I miss about my dad the most is his prayers. You know, my dad was a praying man. He was a saved man. And you know, when you lose those type of prayer warriors in your life, you need somebody to replace them. And that always doesn't happen with the kind of love that your mom and dad shows. You know what I'm saying? But I'm thankful that we have a Heavenly Father that we can always go to. And He's there and He helps us. And Jesus even prays for us. Amen right there. He makes intercession for us. And I'm thankful for that. But he says it's not the end down here. Your conversation is in heaven. And you look to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. So I'm thankful for the Word of God and how it gives us hope and it gives us these truths. I hold your place here and go to John chapter 14. There's a lot of people that are fearful. I've said it many times. There's a lot of folks out in Sun City, Sun City West, the Sun Cities, that they're bitter. People either get bitter or they get better. I think a lot of times the reason they get bitter, seniors, is because they don't know for sure if they died, they go to heaven. They know that's coming and they don't have hope. But then there are those that get better. Amen. And so I like John. Did I say John 14? If not, John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus is saying. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's a promise. Amen. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's a promise. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know. And the way, ye know. Go over to chapter 16 and the last verse there. Verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. See, God wants us to have peace. He wants us to have that calm assurance. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. A lot of people are fearful. They're fearful of dying. They're fearful of things in their life. And I remember in Florida, when we lived in Florida, there was these signs everywhere. When COVID hit, it said faith over fear. And faith is the opposite of fear. And God doesn't want us to have fear.
Right.
God doesn't want us to worry. He tells us that in Timothy. We may show you that verse here in a little bit. I'm sorry, Brother Jackson, Green Bay Packer fan. I read where Aaron Rodgers, well, he's no longer a Packer. What is he, a Steeler now? Aaron Rodgers used psychedelics, mushrooms. He used mushrooms. I don't know what they do with the mushrooms. My wife eats them. But he had to use psychedelics because he was afraid. He had a fear of dying every day. Good luck with that, quarterback. you're probably better off, Brother Jackson. But God does not want us to worry about things. Worry, the definition of worry is trouble and anxious care. That's what it is. And the opposite of worry is to be content. We need more of that, don't we?
Yeah.
To be quiet and not disturbed, to have peace of mind and be satisfied. There's an old song we used to sing in church. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can cleanse your heart and make you whole. And it's true, isn't it? Only Jesus Christ can give that help from worry. Go back to Philippians, if you will. Philippians chapter 4. See a few things here. I wanted to give you that chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, because of the first word in chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore. When you see therefore, I like to see what it's there for. And so, you know, you go back and you see that because Jesus Christ is coming again one day, if you've been saved and your name's in the book of life, you don't have to worry. You know where you're going.
Yeah.
Woke up with the news the other day and, you know, Iran's bombing Israel. The mission that they, Prime Minister Netanyahu gave the title was a rising lion. The rising lion. Well, if you go back to Numbers chapter 24, it talks about the rising lion. And Jesus is the Lion of Judah. Amen. And He's coming back one day. And for the saved person, you may die or you may not. I've heard it said like this. For the saved born-again person, death is a possibility. Now, why is it a possibility? Well, the Lord could come back right now. And the trump could blow right now, and we may just go straight up. If you're saved and there's going to be people left behind, don't be left behind, folks. Get saved today. Trust in Jesus. I look down here, and there's people that just hadn't been too long. They got saved. I think it was Mother's Day, Seth. Guess what? If Jesus comes back today, you're going to be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so I'm thankful that if you're saved, we may not die. We may, but either way, we're with the Lord, right? But if you're lost, where are you going to head? The wages of sin is death. And you'll be cast into the lake of fire, and you'll be separated. Pastor was preaching a message not too long ago about separation from God, and that is probably the worst thing about hell. You won't have God. You won't have Jesus. You won't have the Holy Spirit. And you'll be forever separated in eternity in a place called hell. Now let's go down through here. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Synecdoche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Well, who were those prominent women in the church of Philippi? Evidently, they had some scuffles or something there. And before Paul would die, he wanted to admonish these two ladies to get it right, to get back in unity with the Lord. And that's important in a church, isn't it? Amen. You need unity. You need to love your brothers and sisters, no matter what they look like or what they've done to you or whatever's happened. Just remember, Jesus forgave us. Amen. And we need to forgive others. And so, now the points that I'd like to give you. These are the things you might want to jot down. Truths that will help you with worry is in verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So Jesus is the one we need to rejoice in. Jesus is the one we need to keep focused on. Jesus is the one that can help us. And why? In verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So we need to keep on rejoicing, saints, because the Lord is coming back. He's at hand. The Lord is at hand. It may be today. It may be tomorrow. We just don't know. But there is a judgment seat. Can I get a witness right there? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we need to take heed and rejoice. Keep on rejoicing. What does the word rejoice mean? It means the act of expressing joy and gladness. You know, we need to have some joy and gladness. We need to show that, don't we? If people see us all down and discouraged and doomsday attitude and all of that, they won't want what we have. And so, you know, we are living epistles read among all men. And so Paul, he was that testimony. And he's telling this church, encouraging this church that the Lord let him plant. Hey, this is what needs to happen because the Lord's coming back. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm fixing to be with the Lord. I'm fixing to get my head cut off here pretty soon. But hey, let's keep on rejoicing. And that Philippians, that jailer saw that in Acts chapter 16, I believe it was. Paul and Silas were singing and what? Praising God at midnight. That jailer came in. He was trembling. He said, oh no, this is it. This is it. I'm going to get killed because these prisoners are going to get loose. And what did the Apostle Paul say to him? He said, hey, it's all right. Be of good cheer. It's okay. We're still here in Acts chapter 16. It's going to be all right. And so he was calm. He was not troubled. He was not loaded up with care. And keep on rejoicing. And then in the next verse down here in Philippians chapter 4, if you just came in, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. So keep on reaching. Number one, if you want to have help with your worry, then keep rejoicing. Number two, keep on reaching. Let this reach out to others. Hold your place here and go to Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see ye or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for what? The faith of the gospel. I mean, everywhere we go, there's people that need the Lord. And so we need to shine our light. And the conversation, the word means manner of life. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. This calmness, this restraint, this moderation. So we need to keep on reaching people because they need the Lord. I think of my dad. He was on hospice for how many years? Can you remember? A long time. I want to say 5-6 years. The doctors said that he only had 6 months to live. He had one leg that was taken off through an aneurysm. He had aneurysms all in his stomach and his heart. Yeah, we can't operate on you, Mr. Hardesty, because you're inoperable. You're terminal. And so he went on hospice. And he kept on living. and living. And I think one of the reasons God kept him around is because he was letting his light shine to others. He was leading men and women to the Lord and in the various facilities he was in, and just right up until the end. And my dad, he was not shy. He liked to talk. He liked to be around people. I mean, he'd get around a round table for his meal, and he would just start talking about Jesus. And he let it known. He let it be known that he was saved and kept passing out tracts. And so when the doctor said, "You have 6 months to live," he lived another 5 years. Just keep on keeping on. And giving people the gospel, reaching people. And you know what? He was happiest when he was talking about Jesus and leading people to the Lord. And he went to a Bible study. He would gather up the people. Here they come, the Canaanites, the wheelchairs, I mean everything. My dad was used of God to help that pastor there in Florida do that nursing home ministry. But so keep on reaching. What's it talking about? Well, getting our eyes off ourselves, right? And getting it on the mission. Getting it on God's mandate, God's word, and helping others, taking as many others to heaven as we can. And when you get your eyes off yourself and you get on rejoicing and thanking God for His goodness and His blessings, we need to thank God more. I'll say that again. I had a friend that I heard pray, and I loved hearing him pray, because when he prayed and asked for things, as he was called on by the pastor, he would always stop and he'll say, "Well, like, help Miss Sarah. And Lord, we thank you for helping Miss Sarah." He would always put that thanksgiving in with his prayer. And he was asking, but he was thanking God just as much as he was asking. And you'll see what the Bible says about that here in a minute. So let's read on down here. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So not only keep rejoicing, keep reaching, we'll help you with worry, but keep remembering. Remembering the word careful. Be careful. What's that mean? It means you're full of care. It really means, it has the idea of being anxious. Anxious over things. My wife's got a little surgery coming up. If it was me, I'd be anxious, okay? But we can pray about those things, can't we? Yeah. And what is it in your life that you're maybe anxious or worried? Maybe you say, "Pastor, I'm not worried about it." We kind of cop out and say this sometimes. Brother Robert, "Well, I'm not worried about it. I'm just highly concerned." But really, you're worried. You're anxious. And so what is the word careful? Remember what careful means. It means the opposite of peace. And remember, we don't need to be so careful, but we really need to pray more. Amen? Pray for everything. More prayer. Nurses will tell you, I was hoping Joy's here. Joy here? I heard her in the choir. You know, nurses will tell you, Mike, if you're stressed all the time, you're a stressful person, stress will kill you. Now, it may not be just, well, you get stressed, you get high blood pressure, you know, you get stressed. Other things come with that. But people in the life, in this world, are so stressed nowadays. Oh, there's a nurse right there. Miss Olivia. Will stress kill people? Will it hurt people, Olivia? Yeah, she's a nurse. So that's what this word careful, it means anxious, full of care, stressed, the opposite of peace. He says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. The word supplication means asking. John R. Rice wrote a book, Prayer, Asking and Receiving. Primarily, prayer is asking. But there's other parts to prayer. There's thanksgiving, there's listening, there's praising, and there's supplicating. You can be a supplicant. You can ask humbly, entreat. You can pray for others. Amen. Pray for me right now. Pray for pastor when he gets up to preach. And you can supplicate. You can entreat. You can earnestly request or petition. And I'm so thankful for that. His line is never busy. He never drops a call. Praise God. I mean, Jesus Christ, our Savior is there. We can go to Him in prayer. And if you just lay things on Him, you say, well, I have a tendency, Brother Greg, I have a tendency to giving things to the Lord, but then I take them back. I think we all have that, don't we? And but we need to remember that He is Almighty God, and He can hear and answer prayer. He still answers prayer. Amen. I said Jesus still answers prayer. He can still help you with whatever you're going through. So we can give it to Him earnestly through supplication. And it says with thanksgiving. And we do thank the Lord for all He's done in our life. So keep on remembering this word careful. And then keep on thinking about Jesus. Verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, see, it surpasses. We don't understand it. I've heard people say, I don't get it. I don't understand. Well, I do. God's helping you. God's answered your prayer. It surpasses understanding. And I'm so thankful that we can trust in Him. I don't have time to take you to Isaiah 26, but Isaiah 26, if you want to write that down, write 3 and 4. A lot of times we quote Isaiah 26:3, but we forget the next verse. But it, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because we trust in thee. He trusteth in thee. But that verse 4 is also great when it comes to worry. So keep on thinking about Jesus. So our thought life, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He says here, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I really believe that our mind is the battleground. Satan attacks our mind. Amen. Don't trust all your feelings and your emotions and all your thoughts. I had a pastor tell me one time, after I told him, well, I'm thinking about it. He says, there you go thinking again. There you go thinking. It'll get you in trouble, won't it? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You got to guard this heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But our heart, the Bible says, Seth, is deceitful above all things and what? Desperately wicked. Who can know it? I asked Pastor Lane, we were up in Prescott Valley. He was my pastor. I said, Pastor Lane, what's on your heart? And he said, my heart. You got to be careful, this heart. And so don't always trust these thoughts that come to your mind. Line them up with this book right here. Amen? Line them up. So keep on thinking about Jesus. You'll be all right. Keep on thinking about His Word. And Jesus is what? The living Word. And the Bible is the what? Written Word. They're like identical twins. I mean, we need to stick more with the Word, because Psalms 12 says every word, the pure words, tried in a furnace. And that's one of the things we need to think about. We've got about 7 minutes. Look here in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what?
True.
These are all characteristic of Jesus. All these things He gives us. So we need to think more about Jesus. True things. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, Jesus said. So true things. Jesus and the Bible are true. You can rest in Him. People get so upset. Sometimes, you know, irritations come and the devil fights. And we just need to rest in the Lord and depend on Him. That's what we need to do. But Jesus is true. There's so many false narratives in this world, in this life. How do you know what's true? Right here. Oh, what denomination is it? It'll tell you right here. Well, you know, salvation is not religion. It's in a relationship with Jesus Christ. But people say, what is true? The Word of God, Jesus. And then he says what? Honest. Jesus is honest. He's real. He's the opposite of false. He's fair. He's upright. He's just. Amen? And he's sincere. So keep thinking about those things that are honest and real. Just things, he says. I think I will take you over here. Hold your place here. We'll finish it. But in Romans 3:26. Romans 3. Romans 3. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So Jesus is certainly just, and he's the only one that can justify us, declare us righteous. Jesus Christ is our justifier. I'm so thankful. Keep thinking about him. Pure. I quoted that verse in Psalm 12 where his words are pure. And then the next one over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, just, pure, whatsoever things are lovely. And he's sure lovely. He's pleasant. He's sweet. And he's the only one that can keep us sweet. He's fairer than the lily. Amen. I'm talking about Jesus. He's more precious than gold. He's lovely, the Savior, the Son of God. I'm so thankful for my Savior. And then good report. Jesus knows. He's the only one that can give you a good report. Jesus Christ. And then virtue. He's strong and strength and brave and valor and worthy. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Now, men will let you down. I'm thankful for a president who says, in God we trust. I'm thankful. But you don't want to get your eyes too much on man, do you? Keep them on Jesus, and you'll never go wrong. My grandson just went in the Air Force. We were there trying to say goodbye, and it's hard, you know, to say goodbye. I don't like goodbyes. And Christian hugged my neck, and I was kind of broke up. I said, Christian, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on him, because he'll help you not to worry. If there is any praise, let's see the last part, any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on those things. If you do that, you'll have help from worry. Jesus deserves all the praise, and we have God to thank for everything. Brother and Sister Meyer, you went through a transition, and transitions are hard, aren't they? You need God, but they're sitting here right now. We have God to thank for that. We prayed, and thank God for the church who prayed for them to come, and the church is better off. The church is stronger. Praise the Lord for them being here. I can't pronounce Mrs. Myers' first name, so until I can get that, I'll just call you Mrs. Myers. It shouldn't be too hard. It should be a given. You know, Jay and I think Jay... Janann. Yeah, okay, there you go. Just think of Nanny. Jay and Nanny. Jay Nan. But you know what? God's brought them here, and I'm so thankful for that. So praise the Lord. But Jesus deserves all the praise and the thanks. Now, if you're not saved, that's the first step. That's the first step. You're going to worry. You're going to be fretful. You're going to be without peace. Without peace. You really can't have the peace of God until you have peace with God. You can find that in Romans quickly. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. I'm closing it out. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. That means you get saved in Jesus. We have peace, what? With God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then as a Christian, you're going to grow, Seth. You can have the peace of God. if we just grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for all the verses in the Bible, the promises of the Bible that are true, that give peace, that give contentment. We don't have time, but verse 11, Paul said, I've learned, and whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. And as I was getting ready for this, Brother Jackson, the Lord just spoke to my heart about that. Here he is in prison, Paul's in prison, probably shackled in the lower level, ready to be executed. And he says, I'm content. Yeah. And I'm at peace.
Amen.
I'm calm.
Amen.
And I don't want anything.
Amen.
He says, I've learned that. You know, there's a need, there's a difference between need and want.
Yeah.
Yep. A need is something you have to have. I need food to live. I'm dying. If I don't have some food, I'm going to die. It's essential. A need is essential. A want is something that would be a blessing, but it's not necessarily essential. I'm not saying wants, asking God for things that you want is bad, because God gives us the desires of our heart. He's showered us with blessings, loaded us with benefits. But a need and a want. If you look at that word need, it's a verb and a noun. It's both. But I'm thankful. Here in Philippians 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need. That encompasses everything. According to His riches and glory in Christ, by Christ Jesus. So I'm thankful that we can be content if we just keep our eyes on Jesus, right? And I'm thankful for the comfort that we have. We don't have to worry. We don't have to live our life full of worry. Let's stand together. Father, we're thankful that You are everything, compass that we need. And You love Your children. And You're a God of mercy and grace and compassion. And Lord, we know without You, we are nothing. We will live, dear Father, a life like Martha, who was cumbered about with much care, unless we depend upon You. We know You're the one that can not only save and give life, but Lord, You're the one that can raise the dead. And You're the one, Jesus, that's coming back for Your children one day. And we have that promise. We have that hope. May we keep remembering. But just pray for everything and ask You for everything. May we keep depending upon You with these truths. And we love You and thank You for all You've done on the cross. You went all the way. You were brave. You were virtuous. You're the epitome of virtue, Lord. And I'm thankful we have a God like that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.